amen. I appreciate those of you who have suffered through this and been here every service. Amen. And I brought the real Bible tonight. Can y'all read that?
Yeah.
It says the New American Standard Version. Where's that clicker thing? Here it is. We're gonna compare Bible to Bible tonight, okay? And I'll look at some references. I'm going to read them out of here. You read them out of your Bible, and you'll see what they've done to the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
And we can only, I've probably got 200 or 300 verses marked in here, but we can only look at so many in a service. But you'll see how they take away from the Word of God, how they destroy doctrine, how they belittle the Lord Jesus, and everything pertaining to Him, the virgin birth, the resurrection, and so on. You'll see those things taking place in here. To start with, let me just cover a couple of verses. Go to Isaiah chapter 14. Isaiah chapter 14. In Isaiah 14, the Bible talks about Lucifer. And of course, that was Satan before he fell. He was the anointed cherub that covereth, the Bible says. And verse 12 here, you read along in your Bible. How you have fallen from heaven, O star of the morning, son of the dawn. You've been cut down to the earth. You have weakened the nations. Now, what is the problem with that? Here's the problem. Your Bible does not say anything about the star of the morning there, does it?
No, sir.
It says Lucifer. The word star is not in any Hebrew manuscript known. As far as I know, maybe they discovered one yesterday, but as far as I know, there's none with that word in it. The Bible says Lucifer, son of the morning. Now, what's the problem with changing that to star of the morning? The problem is, Revelation 22:16, Jesus Christ is the morning star. So by changing that, they've connected him with this verse. And basically what happens when you connect him with this verse, he gets kicked out of heaven. You've been cut down to the earth, it says here in this passage. And we'll see some other verses that apply to that, because since Jesus got kicked out of heaven, then he could not have possibly ascended back to heaven. And we'll see that in some verses here as well. I've got a quote here from Jameson Fawcett Brown commentary, which was published in the 1850s. And here's what it says on that verse. Lucifer, day star, a title truly belonging to Christ, Revelation 22:16, the bright and morning star, and therefore hereafter to be assumed by Antichrist. Could I say the new Bibles have fulfilled the prophecy of Jameson back in 1850, because the Antichrist is taking the title of the star of the morning to himself. And so that prediction has come true. So they kicked the Lord out of heaven. Revelation 22:16 says this, I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright and morning star. So if he's the bright morning star, then Lucifer is not the bright and morning star. Lucifer comes from a compound word. It does mean light bearer. But he's not the morning star. Never has been, never will be. And so that's not only a mistranslation, but adding words that are not found in the original text at all. And these are the people who make such a big deal about the original, divine inspired originals, you know, which nobody's ever seen today anyway, and nobody has a copy of them because they don't exist anymore. So they get Jesus kicked out of heaven. Not only that, they make Jesus a sinner. Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, if you'll turn there. Matthew 5, verse 22. Let me read the verse to you out of here while you read it in your Bible, in the real Bible. Matthew 5, verse 22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whosoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. Now, question. Let me read the first phrase again, okay? I say unto you, I want you to pick up what's left out here. That everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. What do they leave out?
Without
Without a cause. Jesus got angry, made a rope, and whipped people out of his temple on two occasions. Right. Several times the Old Testament it tells you God got angry about one thing or another. Yeah. And so with that phrase missing, without a cause, God is a sinner and Jesus is a sinner because they got mad at somebody without that phrase being in there. But if the phrase is in there, Jesus had a cause, God had a cause, yeah, and you can have a cause. You can be angry and what? Sin not.
Yes.
So we made a sinner out of Jesus by leaving that out. All right, I want you to go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew 9. And we're just going to run some New Testament references for a little while tonight and see what kind of changes have been made. Let me see if I've got this working right now. Oh, we're already up there. Okay. Matthew 9, verse 13. Now, it'll be up there, but you can look in your own Bible and see for yourself here. Verse 13, I'm reading from the New American Standard. By the way, it doesn't matter what version you got. If you want to jot these verses as we go along, you can pick up any version you want to. It doesn't matter, NIV, ESV, RSV, RV, it makes no difference. And you'll find basically the same problems in those, okay? They'll vary a little bit, but you'll see the same basic attacks on the Word of God. Verse 13, but go and learn what what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous but sinners, period. What did he leave out?
To repentance.
So if you're a sinner, you don't have to repent according to this Bible.
Right.
And sure enough, we've got people even in Baptist churches preaching that there's no need for repentance these days. One of them right here in Tennessee, close by, preaches, he's known all over the country, preaches you don't need to repent to get right with God. Look at chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16 verse 3. And in the morning there will be a storm today, for the sky is red and threatening. Do you know how to discern the appearance of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times? What did they leave out? Oh, you hypocrites. So the religious but lost crowd are not hypocrites, okay? According to this Bible, they are not hypocrites. Look at chapter 18. Chapter 18, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Now, that is in the text in brackets. They tell you in their preface, anything in brackets is does not belong. People have added it. It's not in the oldest and best manuscripts. And sure enough, out in the margin here, it's got this quote, most ancient manuscripts omit this verse. Luke 19:10 says Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost, and they've got a marginal note there. It says refer back to the note on Matthew 18:11, and what they're doing there is casting doubt on the Word of God. This doesn't belong in there. Some people have added it, but it shouldn't be there. And so what you get out of that is that Jesus did not come to save the lost. Look over at chapter 19. Chapter 19, verse 17. Verse 17, and he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Now, what did they leave out? There's only one good, that is God.
Right.
Now, the man, Jesus didn't say, why are you asking me about what's good?
Right.
He said, why callest thou me good?
Right.
Okay? Because what he's saying there, the man is talking in the previous verse about the Lord and good master, I think he calls him. I don't have mine open in front of me. Verse 16, he calls Jesus good master. Why callest thou me good? You know what he's saying? You sure you know what you're saying to me? If you're calling me good, there's only one good. I must be God manifest in the flesh.
That's it. Yes,
and so they've taken that out, that is God, and reworded the thing. Why are you asking me about what is good? He didn't. That wasn't the question at all. Asking anybody about what's good. Look at chapter 25. Chapter 25. I'm skipping many of them as I go through here, just getting major things. 25 verse 13. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour period. Question, what day?
Yeah.
I mean, what day? Are we talking about the day deer season opens or what?
Right, amen.
How about when the Son of Man coming?
Right.
Amen. And also the next verse here, in verse 14, for it is just like a man. No, not it. How about the kingdom of heaven? Is that what the Bible says?
Right.
Okay, look at Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. So, well, if I read some of those verses, I wouldn't think like what you just said. If that's the only Bible you had, that was what you were reading, yes, you would begin to think that way.
That's right. Amen. That's good.
All right, verse 16. In a similar way, did I flip it over?
No.
I forget about this. I'm going to pick it up, verse 16. In a similar way, these are the ones on whom a seed was sown on the rocky places, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy. And they have no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So what's the problem with that? Well, the problem with that is this. The word firm is not in your Bible.
Right.
What your Bible says is they have no root in himself. And the root is Jesus Christ himself. The Bible calls him that. In Revelation 20:16, Jesus is the root. Isaiah 53 verse 2, he's the root. And so what you're reading in your Bible is somebody who's not saved. They don't have the root, okay? And they like it for a while, and then whenever persecution arises and so forth, it doesn't say they fall away. It says they're offended. Is that what your Bible says? They're offended. But when you put the word firm in there, they have no firm root in themselves, then you got somebody losing salvation here because it says eventually they fall away. It's not a firm root. It's no root at all.
That's right. Amen.
Oh, so they didn't have it to start with. But if you read this Bible, they do. What does that mean? The version you use affects your doctrine.
That's right.
It programs your doctrine. Now, they'll tell you no doctrines affect. Baloney.
Right.
Plenty of doctrines affected. Go to Mark chapter 9. So you can lose your salvation reading this Bible. Mark chapter 9, I think it said Luke. But go to Mark chapter 9, I'm sorry. Mark 9 and verse 24. Immediately, let me flip it again. I forget all that. There we go. Immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. What word did he leave out?
Lord.
So Christ is not Lord, according to this verse. And furthermore, he says, I do believe, help me in my unbelief. Help me, Lord, even though I don't believe in you, I don't believe this book, I don't believe nothing you say, but help me.
Yeah.
He's not going to help you in your unbelief.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
Yes.
Help thou mine unbelief. What your Bible says. Across the page, verse 44. There is no verse 44. Marginal note says verses 44 and 46 are omitted by the best ancient manuscripts. So they didn't put it in the text there. All right, let's go to chapter 9, Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Like that. Luke 2. Okay. Luke chapter 2, verse 33. Make sure I got the right one here. Now, let me see. Get my right page here. 233. I think I mentioned this verse. I did mention this verse already to you. His father and mother were amazed at the things which were being said about him. Your Bible says Joseph and his mother, right?
Right.
So this is a blasphemous statement.
Right.
It does away with the virgin birth. It makes Joseph the father of Jesus.
Yeah.
And by the way, that the word father there is in the Vaticanus manuscript, which I showed you last night, is where the new versions basically come from. And it's not in any of the TR, the Textus Receptus manuscripts. So they dug this word out of one Catholic manuscript. Remember that?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right, now let's go to chapter 4. Chapter 4. Luke 4, verse 4. And Jesus answered him, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, period. Well, of course not. He's got to have peanut butter to go on the bread.
Right.
Amen?
Yes.
No, he's got to live by every word of God.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So you don't have to live by every word of God according to this Bible, so just read what you want to and don't read any more of it if you don't want to. Look at verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Look what's left out. Get thee behind me, Satan. So Jesus did not rebuke Satan through Simon Peter over what was being said there. Look at chapter 4. Verse 18. I keep forgetting this. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden. You see what's missing? Aren't you glad Jesus heals the brokenhearted? Aren't you glad he comes and comforts whenever you've got problems in your life?
Yes,
but not in this book. He's not going to come comfort you here. All right, look at chapter 4, verse 41. Verse 41. And demons. Demons, of course, is a transliterated Greek word. The English word is really devils. So, and demons who also were coming out of many, crying out and saying, "You are the Son of God," and rebuking them, he would not allow them to speak because they knew him to be the Christ. Now, some problems with that, blasphemous problems, really. Doesn't he say in your Bible, "Thou art the Christ"?
Yes.
Okay, that's left out. I know it's got Christ in the end of the verse, but that's left out. And the real problem is this. It says there, "You are the Son of God." In the preface of this Bible on page X, page 10, let me read you exactly what it says here. And you'll see the blasphemy involved in what's up there. "Thou, thy, and thee are changed to you except in the language of addressing deity." Did you get that? If you're addressing deity, you use thou, thy, or thee. And if you're addressing anybody else, you use the word you. Who are they addressing?
Right.
Jesus.
Wow.
So the deity of Christ is destroyed in that verse. Okay? Let's go to chapter 23 of Luke. Chapter 23. Are you seeing how subtle this stuff is?
Oh, yeah.
Chapter 23, verse 39. And one of the criminals who were hanged there was hurling abuse at him, saying, "Are you," there it is again, see that, "not the Christ? Save yourself and us." So again, the language of deity is not placed in there according to what they're calling the language of deity themselves. Does the same thing down in verse 42. He was saying, Jesus, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And that's not what that verse says either. He said unto Jesus, "Lord, remember me." So he's not Lord according to this Bible, and he's not even deity in those verses. Look at verse 51 of chapter 24. 24:51. "And it came about that while he was blessing them, he parted from them," period. Okay, question. Did he go back into town? Did he go take a nap in the shed? Where'd he go?
He went to heaven.
How about carried up into heaven?
Right.
So the ascension of Christ is not in this Bible.
Amen.
Did we see a while ago that he got cast out of heaven?
Right.
According to this, Isaiah 14.
Right.
Okay, he didn't get to go back either, according to this. Well, look at verse 40 in that chapter. Now let me read it to you. Did you hear it? It's not in here. Verse 40 is not in here. Okay? And what does verse 40 say? "When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet," something along that line. Is that what it says? Okay. You've just destroyed the bodily resurrection of Jesus Christ. It was a spiritual resurrection. That's what the JWs teach. He did not come out of the tomb bodily, physically.
That's good.
Okay? Look at John chapter 1. John 1 verse 18. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, He, the begotten God, has explained Him. How could you beget a God?
Right.
It's the only begotten Son, right?
Right.
Is that what the Bible says?
Yes.
So here you've got, we talked about this a couple of days ago, you got two gods. That's Gnosticism. Coming up through Origen on up through Westcott and Hort and all that into these new versions. There are not two gods, one created the other, and the one that was created testifies of the one that created him. And they use the word explain there. Your Bible says declared. Okay? Jesus didn't explain God the Father, but his presence was a declaration of God because he's the visible manifestation of God to humanity. Okay? Wrong word. So, let's go to chapter 4. John chapter 4. And let's see, verse 42. And they were saying to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." What did they leave out?
The Christ.
The Christ. What is that? Well, remember what we looked at it in 1 John? You leave the word Christ out. You've left the deity out. You've left God manifest in the flesh out.
Yes.
He said in 1 John is if you don't believe, I'm paraphrasing here, if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, you're of Antichrist. Remember that?
Right.
Okay. They leave the word Christ out. And so anybody can believe Jesus came in the flesh because you're here in the flesh, right? But Christ is the deity part of that.
Yes.
Jesus, the man, Christ, the God-man, Jesus Christ.
Yes.
So leaving that out does away again with his deity. He's not God manifest in the flesh. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6. And throughout here, like I said last night, they don't believe Jesus worked any miracles. Every time it says miracle, it's changed to sign. 6, verse 47. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life, period. And I think we've left out a serious thing there.
Yeah, right.
On me? Believes on me?
Yes.
Have I got the right place up there?
No. Just one.
What is it?
Just one behind, one more, yes.
Right there?
Yes.
Well, we've got that. We're in chapter 4.
Keep going.
647.
There we go. I'll get this electronic stuff one of these days. The way this is worded, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. There are actually people in this world that think as long as you're sincere, you're going to go to heaven, doesn't matter what you believe.
Yes.
That's not true. You got to believe on Him, on the Lord Jesus Christ, if you want to get to heaven. Look at verse 69 in that chapter. Chapter 6, verse 69. And we have believed and have come to know that you, there's that again, you are the Holy One of God. That's not what the Bible says. I think your Bible says we are sure.
Right.
That's way heavier than we've come to know. We are sure, we're certain about this thing, and it does not say what this says here, that you're the Holy One of God. It doesn't say that. You're that Christ, the Son of the living God. Isn't that what your Bible says?
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
And the Holy Ones, Daniel chapter 4, verse 17, they take those to be those, remember what we talked about, the demigods between God and man?
Yes.
Okay, so they make Jesus one of those in this verse. All right, look at chapter 7. I know that's not on the board, but on the wall, but I don't think I've got that one in this series anyway. But I'm going to show it to you. Chapter 7, verse 8. Go up to the feast yourselves. Remember Jesus, his brothers said, "Are you going to the feast?" And he says, "You go." Go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to that feast because my time has not yet come. Now, what did they leave out? Do you see one word that's left out? Yet. I do not go, this says. Verse 10 says, he himself also went. They just made a liar out of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So he did not say, I'm not going. He said, I'm not going yet.
Right.
And they went on their way, and later on he came on up there. So by leaving that, one little word, yet.
Yes.
Change the whole emphasis of that verse.
Yes.
Mm. Look at chapter 9. I think I got this one up there. No. Well, where am I going here? I did have it up there. Sorry about that. I'll get this figured out by the time I go back home. Chapter 9, verse 35. Go through it. 9:35. Jesus heard that they had put him out, and finding him, he said, this is the man Jesus healed, do you believe in the Son of Man? Who cares if you believe in the Son of Man? Everybody in here is a son of some man.
Right, that's right.
Amen.
Right.
Do you believe the Son of God? That's what's important.
Right, amen.
Amen. So Jesus is not the Son of God, according to this. Look at chapter 16. Chapter 16, verse 16. A little while, and you will no longer behold me, and again a little while, and you will see me. Period. Left out because I go to the Father?
Right.
Is that what's left out?
Yes.
So again, Jesus is not going to ascend back to heaven. He's not going to the Father. See? None of that. And in Luke 24, verse 51, he didn't go back to heaven. Remember that verse? It left out where it says he went back. And so he got kicked out according to this Bible, and he's never going back. Look at Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Pick any version you want, you'll find the same stuff going on. Even the New Scopel Reference Bible has a lot of these verses changed, even though it's supposed to be the King James text in that one. Chapter 1, verse 3. For these he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over a period of 40 days and speaking of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Is convincing, is that quite the same as infallible?
No.
You realize I can stand here and tell you a bald-faced lie and tell it such a way you'd believe it because I convinced you?
Right. Yeah.
This is infallible proofs
right.
That Jesus showed and gave. Go to chapter 2, verse 30. Chapter 2, verse 30. And so because he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants upon his throne. Well, that's we've left a lot out of here.
Yeah.
It's Christ that's going to sit on his throne. Is that what your verse says?
Right.
And it's Christ according to the flesh.
Right.
And again, the word Christ is deity.
Right.
So God manifest in the flesh is going to sit on the throne of David. And so again, this tells you he didn't come in the flesh as they pervert 1 John 4 verses 2 and 3. All right, go to chapter 8. Chapter 8. I gave you this verse a couple of nights ago. Verse 37. Again, listen as I read it. Did you hear it? It's not there. Why? That verse clearly teaches the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Does it not say that? Okay. So again, they've stripped him of his deity, left the verse completely out, and put a marginal note. I showed y'all last night the progress of that, how to get the thing, removing it, and eventually a version on down the road, it's out completely. All right, look at chapter 16. Acts 16. If nothing else, you're getting your Bible reading in today, right? 16, verse 31. And they said, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, you and your household. Well, you better go beyond that. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the deity of the Lord.
Right.
Okay, so he's not the Christ again. He's not God manifest in the flesh, according to this. Go to chapter 23. Now, somebody's thinking this is insignificant. Now, this stuff is just piling up. More and more and more of it.
Right.
And so one verse might sound insignificant, but you get this all together. Chapter 23, verse 9. There arose a great uproar, and some of the scribes of the Pharisaic party stood up and began to argue heatedly, saying, "We find nothing wrong with this man. Suppose a spirit or an angel spoken to him?" Question mark. No. If an angel has spoken to him, let us not fight against God. Isn't that what your Bible says?
Yes, right.
Okay, if he's heard from heaven, we better just leave it alone. So this religious but lost crowd, we talked about a while ago, they're not hypocrites. Neither are they fighting against God, but they are.
Right.
That's exactly who they're fighting against.
Yeah.
Look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. Romans 1 verse 16. "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." I think Paul told us in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, that there's another God, there are other gospels.
Yeah.
And I think he also said, if one comes to you in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, preaching another gospel and another Jesus. So they've left the words of Christ out of here. A particular gospel, okay?
Right.
That's the one you better believe in. So according to this verse, the gospel is not of Christ. Also verse 25, just look down there, gave this to you a couple of nights ago. It said they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. No, they changed the truth of God into a lie. Isn't that what the Bible says? And that's what they're doing right here. They're changing the truth of God. They're calling this a Bible, calling it the Word of God, and changing it into a lie.
Amen.
All right, go to chapter 13 of Romans. Chapter 13. Verse 9. "For this you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet, and if there be any other commandment, it is summed up in this saying, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Look what they left out. "Thou shalt not bear false witness." Why would they leave that out? Because they're a bunch of liars.
Right.
Why would they put an indictment in there against themselves?
Right.
So lying is not one of the Ten Commandments here. Let's go to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 10. "But you, why do you judge your brother? Or you again, why do you regard your brother with contempt? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God." There ain't no judgment seat of God. John chapter 5, verse 22, John chapter 5, verse 27, it says, "God the Father has committed all judgment unto the Son."
Yeah.
So when you stand as a Christian for judgment, you're going to be standing in front of the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're lost and standing at the great white throne of judgment, you're going to be standing in front of Jesus Christ. That's who's going to judge you and put you off into the lake of fire.
Yes.
There is no judgment seat of God. It's the judgment seat of Christ. So according to this, Christ won't be the judge, even though he said he would in John chapter 5. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 47. "The first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven." Well, wonderful. Who is he?
Right.
How about the Lord?
Right. Amen.
Amen. So, Adam and Christ, the way this verse is worded, are both just men. Okay? Look at Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 9. 3:9. "And to bring to light what is the administration of the mystery which for ages has been hidden in God who created all things." Well, there's a way he created all things.
Right.
By Jesus Christ. Colossians 1 said all things were created by him and for him. He's the creator. Without him was not anything made that was made in John chapter 1. But they left him out of here, so he is not the creator according to this verse. All right, let's go to chapter 1 of Colossians. Colossians 1. And I know I mentioned this verse before. It's important. Verse 14, chapter 1, "In whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." Well, how'd you get that redemption. How was God, what's the basis of him forgiving your sin? It's through his blood. And notice the word even in your Bible. That's emphasis. Through his blood, even the forgiveness of sin.
Yes.
Without the blood, there's no what?
Remission.
Amen. No remission at all. Okay? Look at chapter 2, verse 2, and I don't think I have that one up there. Yes, I do. This is a kind of a screwball thing, the way they've done this. I'll try to wade through it and so you can see what they're saying here. Verse 2, that their hearts may be encouraged, having been knit together in love and attaining to all the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. Scratch your head on that, okay? Now, that last phrase, where it says resulting in a true knowledge and so on, that's not what your Bible says. To the acknowledgement of the mystery of God and of the Father and of Christ. You know what they just stripped out of the verse? The Trinity.
Right.
The mystery of God and the Father and of Christ. They've done away with the Trinity, and by wording it like they have, resulting in a trust, in a true a knowledge of God's mystery. And by the way, it doesn't say knowledge of anything. To the acknowledgement of. That means you come to know about it, okay? You acknowledge this is true. Resulting in a true knowledge of God's mystery, that is Christ himself. You know what they've just done? They've just given a verse to the Pentecostals.
Right.
Jesus only. No
right.
Trinity. No Trinity.
Right.
Back in the 70s, this was a prominent sign. You'd see it on bumper stickers and everywhere. It was a Pentecostal sign. It meant Jesus only. There's no Trinity, just Jesus.
Yeah.
That verse verifies that for them.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. Let's see where I'm at here. Chapter 2 of Colossians. I don't think I've got this verse up there. I don't. Verse 11. I'm just going to read this off to you. Verse 11 of chapter 2. And in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands in the removal of the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. You know what they left out? The body of the sins of the flesh. Paul said, "In me dwelleth no good thing, for sin is in my members."
Yes.
All right, look at, let's see where I want to go from here. Chapter 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3. And again, this is another verse I've given you two or three times over these sessions. And I'm not going to take the time to read it because we discussed it in detail. But notice it doesn't say God was manifest in the flesh. He who was revealed in the flesh. And again, everything in that verse will fit Moses except the word God. Moses was manifest in the flesh, right? Well, you are. He was vindicated in the spirit, beheld by angels as it's reading here, proclaimed among the nations, believed only the world, taken up in glory. All that's true of Moses. But you put the word God in there, it can only apply to one person.
Yes.
The Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't say, it says in the end of the verse, taken up in glory. That's not what your Bible says. Doesn't it say received, I don't have my mind open here. Received up into glory, doesn't it say that?
Yes.
Received up into glory. You read the Lord's Prayer, not the disciples' prayer in Matthew chapter 6, but the Lord's Prayer in John chapter 17, and he asked the Father to restore in him the glory that he had with the Father before the world, okay?
Amen.
And so the way your Bible reads, that would fulfill that prayer. Received up into glory. Look at chapter 6. Chapter 6. Verse 5. This is another one that's pretty messed up. And constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. First of all, it's not constant friction, it's perverse disputings, warped up arguments, okay? And they're not deprived, they're destitute. And that's not the same thing. See? I could not give you something, you'd be deprived of it. Or if you don't have it on your own, you're destitute of it. Can you see the difference in that?
Yeah.
It says, deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. They've reversed that. Your Bible says that gain, they suppose that gain is godliness. Doesn't it say something like that?
Right.
I don't have it open in front of me. supposing that gain is godliness. They've turned that thing backwards and says, suppose that godliness is a means of gain. You know what that is? That's the prosperity gospel of the charismatics.
Right. Yeah. Amen.
You do right, live right, God's going to bless you and you're going to get rich.
Right.
Yeah. Not what it said. And they left out a key phrase, from such withdraw thyself.
Right.
So you don't have to separate from anything that's wrong. It's okay. You stay with it if you want to. All right. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. I don't have that one in there. 2 Timothy 3 verse 3. And this is where Paul is describing the last days. Verse 3, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control, brutal, haters of good. Now what I want to point out, your Bible doesn't say haters of good. It says despisers of those that are good. Is that not what it says? In other words, according to your Bible, it's talking about people who hate King James Bible believers. Those that are good. So they changed that, haters of good. All right, look at Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3. And we'll be talking about Jesus here. He's the radiance of his glory and the exact representation of his nature, and upholds all things by the word of his power. When he had made purification of sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. Okay, several problems with that verse. He's not the exact representation of God's nature. He's the image of God's person. Is that not what it says?
Yes, right.
Okay. When it says, when he had made purification of sins, they left out the phrase by himself. Jesus single-handedly brought about the means of your salvation. Nobody helped him. Nobody's involved. I lay down my life for myself. I pick it up again and so on. So it was all by himself. They stripped the glory of him from him on that. And it doesn't say purification of sins. It says he purged us of our sins. Does it not say that?
Yes. That's right.
Okay.
Yes.
Look at chapter 10. Hebrews 10. Verse 34. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Well, there are some problems with that. In the first place, he's not talking about sympathizing the prisoners. He's talking about their attitude toward himself.
Right.
See? Me in my bonds.
Right.
And when it says here, that you have for yourselves a better possession, they've left out the two words, in heaven. That's where your better possession is. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, that we have an inheritance reserved for us in heaven who are kept by the power of God. So it's up there. They left that out. And they've also left out something else here. It says, you have, knowing that you have for yourselves. I think the word for is not in your Bible. It's in. Is it not in? In yourselves? In yourselves? Why? His spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God and I know I have an inheritance in heaven.
Right.
So it's in yourselves, not for yourselves. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. And verse 22. Since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. Well, how did you purify your soul? Was it through the Spirit? Is that what your Bible says? Through the Spirit. So, in this verse, you purify your own soul without the help of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Self-salvation.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yes.
Look at chapter 2, verse 2. Now this one's really messed up. Like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that you may grow in respect to salvation. I think your word says grow thereby, and that salvation is not in any manuscript. That's something they pulled out of the air and stuck in there. You don't grow in respect to salvation. You need to get saved. You don't. That's the end of the matter. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Very, very simple. And in one of the other versions, it says that you may grow up unto salvation. So it's got salvation being a process that a person goes through. It's not a process. It might be a process you get to the point and you know you need it. But once you call on the Lord, it's over with. It's done right then. Look at chapter 4. 1 Peter 4. And verse 1. Therefore, since Christ is purified in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, and so on and so on. Left out the two words for us. Suffered. Christ has suffered in the flesh, it says. For us.
Right.
You know what a lot of people say about Jesus? Well, he was a martyr. He died before his time. He was a revolutionary. All this kind of stuff they come up with about him. No, he was the Son of God sent down here to pay for our sins. And in the fullness of time, he died for our sins. It wasn't no accident. It was all on purpose and God's plan. It was all done according to God's schedule and so on. And it was for us, not because he was considered a criminal by the Roman government and they caught him and executed him. It wasn't it at all. It was for us.
Yes.
Look at chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 11. To him be dominion forever and ever. They left out the word glory. The glory and dominion. So Christ is not going to have any glory forever. All right, go to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 3. Now we've already discussed this verse, so I won't go into a bunch of detail here. Every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, of which you have heard that it is coming, and now it is already in the world. Left out the word Christ, the deity. Okay, you see that? So you don't have to believe that Jesus is the Christ. You don't have to believe that he's God manifest in the flesh, anything like that, because the deity part is left out. All right, look at, we'll drop down to verse 19. I don't have this on the board, but look at this. We love because he first loved us. Hey, I love French fries and ketchup.
Right.
But that's not because he first loved me. I love him because he first loved me. Left that out. All right, look at Jude. I'm sorry, let's catch another verse coming through. Look at chapter 5, verse 7. We mentioned that the other night, but we'll take a look at it. And you tell me, listen to this and tell me what they've done here. Verse 6 and 7. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ, not with water only, but with the water and with the blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. And verse 8, for there are three that bear witness and so on. You know what they did? They took the last half of verse 6 and call it verse 7.
Yeah.
And they took verse 7 completely out.
Yeah.
Verse 7, as I said the other night, that's the clearest verse on the Trinity in the Bible, and it's taken out, and they took the last half of verse 6 and they're calling it verse 7. It is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is the truth. So they've done away with the Trinity there. There's no Trinity in heaven. We saw that Colossians chapter 2, verse 2. We looked at that verse. No Trinity, just Jesus only. Okay? And verse 8, here's what they've done in verse 8. For there are three that bear witness, the Spirit and the water and the blood. I think your Bible says in earth.
Yeah.
Bear witness in earth.
Yeah.
Okay. Now who would suspect, the way that reads, 6, 7, and 8, who would suspect that something's been taken out? Nobody. Nobody. Look at Jude. Jude verse 14. And about these also Enoch, in the seventh generation from Adam, prophesied, saying, Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones. Again, this holy ones is a bad phrase, a wrong kind of phrase. We talked about that in John chapter 6, verse 69. We looked at that. Notice the thing I want you to see is they put it in the past tense. He already came.
Right.
Go with it.
Right.
This verse talking about the second coming. He cometh with 10,000 of his saints. He didn't do that the first time. Came by himself.
Right. Amen.
And so they've got it all in the past tense. It's all taking place already. And sure enough, you have churches and denominations teaching that it's all in the past. Matthew chapter 24, the whole chapter is about second coming of the Lord and so on. And one Southern Baptist guy wrote a book that thick on Matthew 24 to prove that it took place in 70 A.D., what that chapter is talking about. Nope, didn't happen yet. Okay, so how do you know he hasn't come back yet? Because I'm still here. And before he comes back and puts his feet on this planet, I'm going to be out of here.
Right.
Amen.
Yes.
All right, look at Jude 25. I don't have that one up there. Verse 25. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forever. Amen. Now, the problem with that, your Bible says to the only wise God, does it not? Paul said, gods there be many. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Gods there be many. We're talking here about the only wise God. The only one of them who is wise. And they've added this phrase, through Jesus Christ our Lord, the only wise God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's not supposed to be there. Okay? Why? Because the deity, with that omitted out of there, the deity of Jesus Christ is clearly shown because He is our Savior.
Amen. That's right.
God our Savior, and elsewhere Jesus is called our Savior. So Jesus must be God,
right,
manifest in the flesh, because we only have one Savior.
Right. Amen, brother.
See what they've done there?
Yes.
Okay? All right, let's go to Revelation chapter 1. Verse 11, saying, write in a book what you see and send it to the seven churches, and he names the churches. They left out the phrase, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. Left that completely out of here. So Jesus is not the beginning and the end. He's not the first and the last, and so on. Look at chapter 5, Revelation 5. Let's see, I think I got that one up there. Yeah, 5 verse 14. And the four living creatures kept saying amen, and the elders fell down in worship, period. Okay, did they worship Baal? Who did they worship? How about him that liveth forever and ever?
Right.
Amen. So Christ is not going to live forever, and he's not the one to be worshipped according to this. Look at chapter 6. Let me see what verse I'm up here. Verse 2, 6:2. I don't think I have that up there. Yeah, I do. Okay. I looked and behold a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow and crown and so on. Now, what's the problem there? The problem is the marginal reference references Revelation 19, verse 11, where Jesus is coming back on a white horse. So, again, just like in Isaiah 14, 12, they've tied the Antichrist into Jesus Christ.
Right.
This is not Jesus in chapter 6.
Right. Amen.
This is the fake Jesus coming here on this white horse. And so they put the two together just like they did back there in Isaiah. Okay? And really, they got a marginal note here. It says, see, Revelation 19, 11, tying them together and doing the same thing over there back to chapter 6, verse 2. Okay, look at chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 5. And no lie was found in their mouth. They are blameless, period. Well, where are they blameless at? How about before the throne of God? I mean, you know, it's one thing to be blameless in the sight of people. It's something else to be blameless in the sight of God. Something else entirely. And by the way, the previous verse of that, I don't have it up there, but let me read it and you'll catch this. These are, verse 4, these are the ones who have not been defiled with women, for they are celibates. These are the ones who follow the Lamb, and so on and so forth. Your Bible says they're virgins, right?
Right.
You know what a celibate is? It's a Roman Catholic priest.
Yeah.
Celibacy of the priesthood.
Yeah.
And that's, why would they choose that word? Look at chapter 16. chapter 16, verse 17. And the seventh angel poured out his bowl upon the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple from the throne, saying, "It is done." Well, the temple's not in heaven in this verse.
No.
Temple of heaven, isn't that what it says?
Right.
In fact, look back at verse 7 in that chapter. "And I heard the altar saying, Yes, O Lord God, the Almighty, true and righteous are thy judges." Heard the altar. You ever heard an altar speak?
Right.
How about another out of the altar?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
This pulpit is not speaking, but I'm speaking out of this pulpit.
Right. That's it. Amen.
Okay. Look at, let me find something else. Look at this chapter 20. Chapter 20, verse number 9. "And they came up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city, and fire came down from heaven and devoured them." Now, what's the problem with that? Well, it came down from God.
Right. Yeah.
And you need to make that distinction, because in chapter 13, fire is called down out of heaven by the false prophet.
Right.
Amen. We want to be sure we got the right fire here.
Yeah.
Not some lying wonder of the devil.
Amen. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. Chapter 20, let's look at verse 12. Verse 12. "And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were open, and another book was open," and so on. Does it say standing before God?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Not just standing before some throne, but standing before God. The phrase "the throne" came from Westcott and Hort's perverted text. I told y'all about that the other night. And the word "God's" in the text is "receptus," and that's what it should be, okay? If you've got a Scofield Bible, and I don't have this one open, the marginal reference B on that verse says the same thing, "the throne." Tells you, basically, it shouldn't say God, it should say "the throne." And I told you the other night, Scofield was an RV believer anyway, Revised Version.
Right.
And he chose the King James text because it was the most commonly used. And he made that statement himself. Look at chapter 21, verse 24. "And the nation shall walk by its light, and the kings of the earth shall bring their glory into it." I think it says the nations of them which are saved. Does your Bible say that?
Yes.
So let's talk about the new heavens and new earth. So the nations of the new earth don't have to be saved.
Right.
Yes. They do if God's going to put up with them.
Right.
Amen. Look at chapter 22. Say, well, we're on the last page of the Bible. What we're going to do? We're going to start at Genesis and go through there. 22 verse 19. "And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the tree of life and from the holy city which are written in this book." No, the Bible doesn't say anything about any tree. It says out of the book of life. And they changed that to tree here. In the first place, Christians have no connection with that tree anyway.
Right, yes.
Okay? It's got nothing to do with us. That tree is mentioned 6 times in the Bible. And it never has one thing to do in any of those contexts with anybody getting saved.
Right.
Not one. Not even with Adam back in the garden. Not one time. And so you change it, and it says take away his part from the tree of life. And they change that because they didn't believe what it said, the book of life. And their teaching was God could not take away your part out of the book of life. Yes, he can, because if you read the previous chapter, the part is the inheritance. Not the salvation, it's the inheritance. That's your part. And God has it written in his book. And when you get to heaven, you're going to see if you got what he had for you or not.
Right. Amen.
I think God is, we're going to see that not only whatever he might give us, and rewards and crowns and all that, but I think he'll show us what we could have had.
Right. Amen, brother.
What we could have had.
Amen, brother.
Amen.
That's right.
All right. Any comments, questions, or whatever?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
What does it in Revelation, what does it say in 13? Because it left the I am the Alpha and Omega out in the beginning. Did it leave it out there?
I don't think it left it out there. Let me take a look. What verse is it? Yeah, it's in here. It's in verse 13. So, well, then they've got it in. Well, they got the blood in a couple places, too. But this is a subtle thing that goes on from one version to another. Change a little here, take something out over here, and finally take the whole thing out.
Right.
I showed you the other night, the Antichrist is going to use a Bible to deceive the world. And these versions are headed toward that Bible that he's going to use. And by the time it gets to him, all that stuff will be out.
Right.
Any other question? Okay. Come on, preacher.
Hey, thanks,